Shabbat Shalom. This school has been dedicated in his name. Avram Silver died on this day at 1997. He was 42 years old. And he was a great philanthropist. He was a great supporter of Torah, of Yesha. Oh my, was his heart in the right place. He would have been a major force in Orthodoxy, would he have been granted the years, but he was not. So I was his teacher so many years ago, and we maintained a relationship for all of these years until he passed away. And of course the relationship continues now with his wife Bonnie and their three children, and they've dedicated the school and really a major part of what is going on at the Israel Center in his memory. So here it is, Parashat Bereishit. Now I think that I may very well have been a little over anxious to accomplish a great deal today. There are two pages. There was a better word I was looking for. Ambitious, that's the word. I was a shtickel ambitious. So I'm going to try and limit our remarks to really to the Ramban. The second page are selections from the Ramban, but we're going to start with the Psukim, of course. We're talking about very difficult Psukim. And here it is, since I'm dedicating the Shir to the Ramban, and I was Rav Moshe ben Nachman, and I was afraid that Rhoda Epstein would be here this morning, and she would say to me, when did the Ramban live? Who was the Ramban? So I have, the Ramban was born in 1194, and he died in 1270. And I noticed also, the Ramban died in 1204, which means that the Ramban was 10 years old when the Rambam was born. The Rambam was born in 1194. So in 1204, he was 10 years old. The Rambam, of course, became, first of all, one of the great disciples of the Rambam, but also one who was not afraid to disagree. When he wanted to disagree with the Rambam, he did. And the Rambam, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, is best known by his acronym Ramban, and also as Nachmanides, as the Rambam Moshe ben Maimon is known as Rambam. He was the leading Bible and Talmud scholar in the generation following Rambam, also a renowned philosopher, poet, and physician. He was born in Gerona, I believe that was northern Spain, into a famous rabbinic family. He's sometimes referred to as Rabbi Moshe Gerondi, after his native town. He spent most of his life in Gerona supporting himself as a physician. He exercised extensive influence over Jewish life. Even King James I consulted him on occasion. By the age of 16, he had published his first major halachic work, and then following that, he published so much, and of course, best known is his commentary on Torah, and also there's so much that he wrote, but there's also a great commentary that he wrote on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvahs, the book of mitzvot of the Rambam. So the Rambam has a perush, and also there a number of places where he disagrees with the Rambam. And the classic, I would say, most famous disagreement, and I'm not so sure that it's such a disagreement, Rambam lists all of the positive commandments, and then he lists all of the negative commandments. After the list of positive commandments, the Rambam writes that there are, he lists 17 mitzvot that the Rambam should have listed and didn't list. The most famous one of them all is mitzvah number 4, where the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah, I'll use his words, to conquer the land of Israel, to reclaim the land that has become arid and dry and uninhabitable, and the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael at all times. Because the Rambam does not enunciate it clearly, so there are those who hold that according to the Rambam, there is not, or there may not be a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Don't worry, don't worry. promise you, you're all fulfilling a big mitzvah by living here. But this is the famous, huh? Listen, I'll tell you, in 1956, I had been learning here in 55 and 56. And there was a time that I had learned with a chavrusa in Merkaz HaRav. Merkaz HaRav was on Rav Cook Street, you know, near Anatiko, right? Okay, everybody knows the restaurant. It's very beautiful. But right near there was Bet HaRav. And it still is. It's a museum. And there's a Beis Medrash. So I remember before I was planning on going back, so somebody told me, go in and ask. There's a fellow, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, the Rav's son, and ask him whether you should go back to America. So here it is. I walk in off the street, and I say, listen, should I go back to America? So Rav Tzvi Yehuda, beautifully, I cherish it now. He brought me into his living room, and he brought out a sefer, Hamitzvos of the Rambam, and he gets to the page where the Ramban, it's a long Ramban where he discusses the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and he learned that whole Ramban with me. There was something so fatherly and so beautiful about the way that he did it. It didn't help for the short term, because I did go back, but it certainly must have been a contributing factor in the long term. All right. By the way, I was listening in at the end of Rabbi Adler's shir about making a borei pri hagafen on a bris on Tisha B'Av. So I want to tell you, I mentioned it the Hoshana Rabbah night, I think, that I had a bris in Shul on Yom Kippur, and I was given the honor of giving the child the name. So for the first time in my life, I made a borei pri hagafen on Yom Kippur, and I didn't drink. The baby drank, and I thought to myself that I should make a shechianu for having made for the first time in my life a borei pri hagafen on Yom Kippur. I'll tell you the rest of the story. I see how much Ramban I'm going to get done today. The parents and the grandparents are all real Lubavitcher Hasidim. So I'm giving the baby the name, and you know, you bend your ear to hear, and of course, Menachem Mendel. So I smiled, I couldn't help it. Yeah, Menachem Mendel. So the father comes, the Zayda comes over to me afterwards, and he says, I saw the look on your face, like when you gave the name, you were thinking, my, what an original choice of a name that was. So I told him, well, it's probably in the family now, you're going to have a whole problem, Mendy 1, Mendy 2, Menachem Mendel 3, like it's so many Menachem Mendels floating around. So then he tells me the story that I said, Hoshana Rabbah night. And this is a tough guy. He's not a sentimental character. And I see his eyes. It's Yom Kippur in the afternoon, and his eyes are tearing up. I can see this big guy is all full of emotion. He says, Rabbi, I got to tell you. Yesterday I was at the Kotel before Yom Kippur, and I'm on my way home for the Suda Masechet. And I see as you're coming down, you know, as you come down over there from Shar Tzion, there's a light, and there's a police checkpoint. There are a few police cars. And they're looking at every car, and every car's going slowly, and he's hoping, oh God, I hope they don't stop me. I don't have time now. Health to the Ben Shalom. Stop him. And a policewoman comes over and he says, like what do I do? Like, I don't know. And people are honking back there. And she says, you know, in our trucks we have a whole bunch of fresh lachmaniyot. They're going to go bad. Do you know a family or a yeshiva that can use them? And meanwhile, here it is. Traffic is backed up. And they start telling the police, tell the traffic, wait a minute, take it easy. They go over to their truck. They bring out all sorts of bags of lachmaniyot. And this fella took it. He brought it to yeshiva in Harnover, Erev Yom Kippur in the afternoon. Here's this big guy, and he's crying. And he says, so I said to him, Mika Amcha Yisrael, who's like your people Israel? So he says, no, Rabbi. Ein Ka'amcha Yisrael. There is no one like your people, Israel. All right, that's the story. Oh, Rhoda, I was talking about your Rhoda. I was talking about your Rhoda. You're bringing me back to the shir. The shir is on the Ramban, and I gave the whole history of the Ramban. All right. I'll give it to you separately. All right. V'ha'adam yadaz chava ishto. V'atar v'atelet et kayin. On the first side, we have the psukim, the text. Men knew his wife Chava v'atar v'atelet et kayin. She became pregnant. She gave birth to Kayin v'atome. She said, Kaniti ish et Hashem. I have acquired a man together with God. V'atosef l'ledet et achiv et hevel. She then gave birth to his brother, to Hevel. Vahi Hevel Roetzon. Hevel was a shepherd. The Kayin Hoya Oved Adama, and Kayin worked the land. Interesting, Ksava Kabbalah says, with regard to Hevel, it says Vayehi Hevel Roetzon. Hevel was, and the fact is that Vayehi really is some kind of a future tense. Vayehi, and certainly in comparison to Kayin, Hoya was Oved Adama, was one who worked the earth. He was a farmer. He says, because the fact is, what was man placed in this world for? It says earlier in the parasha that man was placed in the world lo avda ulishamra, to work the land and God to take care of it. Hevel, who becomes a shepherd, is really making a change from what should have been the norm. The norm for man was to work the earth. That means Hevel is doing something that is unusual and exceptional. That's why they use the word Vayehi Hevel Roetzon. And most probably Hevel did not want to work the earth, because remember, the earth had been cursed after the sin of man. But let's go further. Vayimi Kates Yomen, and it came to pass after a time period, Kayin brought from the fruit of the earth Mincha Hashem, a mincha sacrifice to God. And Hevel also brought from the best of his sheep and from their fatty parts. Vayisha Hashem el Hevel Minchato. God turned to Hevel and to his mincha. Vel Kayin vel Minchato lo shaw, and to Kayin and to his sacrifice, God did not turn. Vayichal Kayin miod, and Kayin was very angry. Vayiplu ponov, and his face, he was crestfallen. He was broken by the fact that God had not accepted his sacrifice. I mean, how did they know? Most probably, what happened was that fire came down and consumed the sacrifice of Hevel, but did not consume the sacrifice of Kayin. Vayomer Hashem al Kayin, and God said to Kayin, Loma chorol loch, why are you so angry? V'loma noflu panecha, why are you so crestfallen? Hello, im teitiv seit, vim lo teitiv la petach chatat roveitz, ve'lecho tshukato la'tat timsholbo. This is one of the very difficult psukim in Torah. That's you never understood, so I'm hoping we'll understand a little bit more. According to Rashi, what God is saying to him is the following. Halo imtativ. Halo imtativ. If you will be good, if you will mend your ways, Seid, God will forgive you. The word Seid comes from a word that we have said so often during the course of the Yom HaNechayim, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum B'Chanun Erech Apayim Rav Chesed V'Emes No Tzeh Chesed Alofim No Say Ovon V'Fesha. God carries sin and rebelliousness. He carries and he forgives. So Rashi says, Hashem says, Intative, if you will mend your ways, you shall be good, say it. Your sin will be forgiven. Vim lo teitiv, and if you will not, then you should know la petach, by your door. By the door, Rashi says, by the door of your grave, chatat roveitz, the sin is going to be crouching there. It will be waiting there for you. Ve'ilecha tshukato, and you will continue to desire what? To sin. But you should know, v'atatim sholbo, even though there is a yetzer hara, there's an evil inclination, you can overcome, you can subdue. And therefore what I'm telling you is, mend your ways. We're going to get back to this pasuk right away. Vayomer Kayin el Hevel Achiv, Kayin said to his brother Hevel, and this is of course another one of the difficult psukim in Torah. Vayomer Kayin el Hevel Achiv, Kayin said to his brother Hevel, now listen, like something went awry over here in the pasuk. Vayehi b'hi yotam basaden, it came to place, it happened when they were in the field. Vayokum Kayin el Hevel Achiv Vayargeyu, and Kayin rose up against his brother Hevel and he killed him. What did Kayin say to Hevel? The pasuk says Vayomer Kayin el Hevel Achiv, and what do we expect? We expect that after it says that Kayin said to his brother Hevel, we should at least be told, what did he say? And before you know it, the pasuk is already saying, Vayihi b'yotam basadeh, they were in the field, and he kills him. What was the conversation about? What were they talking about? I had once explained that it's not really important what the conversation was about. What the Torah wants to point out is that whatever they may have been talking about, or whatever Kayin was saying to Hevel, he certainly wasn't communicating. You can talk at somebody, or you can talk to somebody, or you can talk with somebody. Kayin is engaging him in conversation. He's engaging him in conversation. Doesn't mean that there was any significant communication. There are people who can talk with each other, and they despise one another. Has nothing to do. One has nothing to do with the other. You can talk, and you can hate at the same time. He engages him in conversation, but he is not engaging him in any kind of a meaningful, communicative relationship. Right. The Medrash fills in a certain sense. Number one, there's the Medrash number one. You have it right on this. Vayomer Kayin el Hevel Achiv, Vayivi Yotam Basadeh. The Medrash asks the question. It says that Kayin spoke to his brother. Well, what were they talking about? The pasuk hasn't told us what they were talking about. Al ma hayu midainim. What were they dealing with? What was the issue? Amru. Medrash is going to give three answers. They said, bo v'nachalok et ha'olam, let's divide the world. Echad not alat ha'karkaot, one took the land, the real estate. Ve'echad not alat ha'metaltlin, and another one took the movable objects. Dain Omar, so the one who took the real estate of the world, said, Arodat Koimale, the land that you're standing on, Didi, belongs to me. Fly, get off. Haaretz asher ata omed aleha shelihu. The Dain Omar, and the other one said, what you're wearing, Dain, Ma dat lovish, what you're wearing, Didi is mine. Chalotz, take it off. Dein Omar Prach, one said, fly. We can see already that there's been an extremely complete breakdown of communication over here. They've divided the world. In other words, in a sense, they've partitioned the world, but the partition has not brought any kind of peace. If anything, the partition has brought even greater strife. Mitoch kach, in this back and forth, Vayokum Kayin el Hevel Achiv Vayargeyu, Kayin rose up against Hevel and he killed him. That's opinion number one. In opinion number two, Rabbi Yeshua de Sachnin b'shem Rabbi Levi Omar, Rabbi Yeshua of Sachnin, the same Rabbi Levi, said, Shneim not lo ta karkot, u shneim not lo ta metalflin. There was a more even distribution of the world. They divided the real estate and the movable objects of the world equally. So val ma ha yumid daimin, so what were they talking about? Elazer Omer Bitchumi Beit HaMikdash Yibaneh. Believe me, there is nothing more real and contemporary as this part of the Medrash. They're fighting over Har HaBayit. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? One says Bitchumi Yibaneh, Beit HaMikdash Yibaneh, within my boundaries the Beit HaMikdash shall be built. V'zeh omer, and this one says, B'tchumi Beit HaMikdash Yibaneh. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, V'yihi b'hiyotam basadeh, when they were in the field. So the second opinion in the Medrash holds that there has to be some kind of a hint in the Pasuk as to what was the topic of conversation. So they say, the word sadeh. The word sadeh is a term that is also used to describe the Temple Mount. Ve'ein sadeh ele Beit HaMikdash. Sadeh is Beit HaMikdash, as it says. Tzion sadeh teicharesh. Micha talks about what the Beit HaMikdash is going to be plowed under. So he refers to Tzion as the sadeh. U'mitalchach v'yokum Kayin el hevel achiv v'yargeu. Kayin rose up against his brother Hevel when he killed him. Yehuda ber Avami Yoma, third opinion, Rav Yehuda ber Avami says, Al chavo rishono hayu midainin. They were talking about who's going to get chavo. How do you like that? Nechama Leibowitz says that, of course, what the Medrash is telling us over here is that all wars, all struggles, all battles throughout all of history are either over possessions. That was the first opinion. Possessions. That's what people fight about and kill one another about. The second, of course, is religion. Where shall the Beit HaMikdash be built? And, of course, taking it one step further and making it even more contemporary. By us, the struggle is, in fact, over Beit HaMikdash itself. And the third opinion is over women. People will kill one another, or kill men, or kill women. World hasn't changed too much from the days of the Medrash. But in order to get to what we want to talk about, there's another Medrash down there, number two. Vayetze Kayin milifnei Hashem. Later on it's going to say that Kayin is banished from the Garden of Eden. Vayetze Kayin milifnei Hashem. Kayin went out from before God. So the Medrash asks, Meheichon Yatzo? Meheichon Yatzo? Where did he go from? Where did he go from? So the number of opinions. Rab Yudin b'shem Rab Eva Omar. Rab Yudin in the name of Rab Eva said, Hifshul dvarim l'achorav v'yotzo k'go nevdat ha'yona. He sort of put his backpack on his back and his knapsack on his back, and he sort of made his way out of Gan Eden, sort of like one who is, is sort of sneaking, slinking away out of the presence of God. That's what's meant by Vayetze Kayin Lefnei Hashem. Rab Rachi b'shem Rab Lozer b'Rab Shimon Omer, Rab Rachi in the name of Rab Lozer b'Rab Shimon says, Yotzo kimafris ukimerame biboro. That he walked out in a sense, he walked out as one who is deceiving his God. Deceiving as though, we sort of made peace and we're parting friends, and he goes marching out of Gan Eden. Rab Choma b'shem Rab Chanina b'Rab Yitzchak Omer Yotza Sareach. He went out full of joy. The first opinion, he's sneaking out. The second, he's walking out with his head tall, but it's a farce, it's a game. Not really so. He's trying to leave the impression that he's, you can't fire me, I'm quitting. The third says, Vayetze, he went out with great joy. Heich ma da'atama, this as it is said, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, behold, your brother is coming out to meet you. On your way back to Mitzrayim, your brother Aaron is going to come out to you. Hinehu yotze likrotecha, he's coming toward you. And what does he mean? And God is telling him, your brother is going to meet you with great joy. The yotze here is like the yotze there. Great joy. Why great joy? What's the joy? So the Medrash explains, Parkapo Adam Arishon, Parkapo Adam Arishon met Cain. Amalo. So Adam Harishon, first man, said to Cain, Man Nasa Bedinach, what was done with your case? What happened? Amalo. Cain says the following, Asiti tshuva, I did tshuva, v'nit pasharti, and I arrived at a compromise with God. Hitchil Adam HaRishon mitapeach al panav. Adam HaRishon started hitting himself and he said, Kach hu kocho shel tshuva v'ani lo hayiti yodea. This is the great power and the strength of tshuva, and I didn't know. Miyad Amad Adam HaRishon v'Omar, immediately first man got up and he said, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShavas. Why did he say Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShavas? So the Mefarshim on the Medrash say, what does it say after Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShavas? Tov Lahodot LaHashem. And what he meant was, it's good to confess. Lahodot from Lashon Vidui. It's good to confess. What's amazing, of course, is Adam HaRishon didn't know the power of tshuva. Cain knows the power of tshuva. How does Cain know the power of tshuva? Nobody's told him, but there's no question about it. Cain is a great man. Cain is a great man. We're going to see in the Ramban. The Ramban says he brought a sacrifice. He knew the secret of the power of sacrifice. It had to be by dint of his own greatness. We're not talking about a garden variety. That didn't come out too good. A garden variety killer. We're talking about a killer in the garden of God. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about just on the contrary. Cain, therefore, is much worse. But Cain is brilliant. Cain knows the secret of Korban, and Cain knows the secret of Tshuva that Adam HaRishon himself did not know. It's not because God told him there's tshuva, but he was able to arrive at a conclusion that if man stands up before God and says, I'm sorry. Now here, there will be a difference between Rashi and the Ramban. The extent to which he does tshuva. Of course, the first response of Cain is certainly not a tshuva response. What happens? God says to Cain, the next pasuk, Vayom Hashem al Cain, Ei Hevel Ochicha, where is your brother Hevel? Vayom, Lo Yadati, I don't know, Hashem Arochi Anochi, am I my brother's keeper? I mean, here, this is clearly the response of a person who's trying to shunt away any kind of responsibility. He doesn't care any. What, it's my business where my brother is? I mean, this is certainly not a person who is ready to face the horror of what he did. Vayomer, God said to him, Me'osita, what did you do? Cold me'achicha, the voice of the blood of your brother, Tzawak me'elayim and Adoma, crying out to me from the earth. And then he says, Ato, Orurato, you are cursed, min ha'adoma, from the earth. Asher patstad piha, the earth will be, you will be cursed from the earth. Ramban is going to make it clear, there's no curse on the earth. The curse is on Cain. The earth is not going to respond to his ministrations. Other people will be able to work the land and receive bountiful crops. But you won't be able to. Ki tavod et ha'adoma, you will work the earth. Lo tosef teit koch aloch. She's no longer going to give strength to you. Nova nod tihye ba'aretz. You will be a stranger and a wanderer in the land. Vayomer Cain el Hashem. Now here, this is we'll a Rashi, and then we'll go to the Ramban. Vayomer Cain el Hashem. Cain said to Hashem, Gadol avoni minisso. Gadol avoni minisso. My sin. Now this can be read in one of two ways. Rashi learns it as a question: is my sin that great that you can't carry and forgive it? Gadol avoni minisso. If you read it as a question, it means that Cain is still maintaining his rebelliousness. Like, what? It's so terrible. It's such a terrible sin. God, you're able to do anything. You can forgive even this. Now, we're going to the Ramban. Because if I don't learn a few Rambans, It's going to be pretty bad. Here's a whole shiur devoted to the Ramban. Rhoda, he was born in 1194. Just remember that. You see where it's underlined over there, number 3. Vayovei Kayin mipri adolam minchol Hashem. Kayin brought from the fruit of the earth. He brought his sacrifice. Vehevel hevi gamhu. Hevel also brought. The Ramban says, Hevinu ha'anoshim ha'ele sod gadol mehakorbanot v'hamenachot. These people understood the great secret of bringing sacrifices of animal or from the fruit of the earth. V'chein Noach. Noach, when he comes out of the ark, also brings a sacrifice. V'rabotenu amru, our rabbi said, Shegam Adam Arishon hikriv shor par. Adam Arishon also brought a sacrifice. V'ze yachsom pi hamavhilim b'tam hakorbanot. Here, we were talking about the relationship between the Ramban and the Rambam. Here, in a very fascinating and code, he is referring to the Rambam. He says, all that's taking place over here closes the mouths of those who say confusing things as the reason for sacrifice. He's referring to the great machloket between himself and the Rambam that will come to the fore in Sefer Vayikra. The Rambam of the Mora Nevuchim says that sacrifice was really a concession to the weakness of the Jewish people. They were living in a society, in a culture that sacrifice was basically part of that culture. You couldn't simply tell them don't bring sacrifices. That's like telling people don't pray. So as a concession to the weakness of the Jewish people, God gave sacrifice. The Ramban says, no, it cannot be. And what's his proof? One of the proofs, he brings many proofs. One of the proofs is that Adam, Cain, Hevel, Noach all brought sacrifices. And these, of course, took place before there ever was idolatry on the face of this earth. So bringing sacrifices did not begin with the idolatrous world. It was something that in and of itself has great significance. But that's already a major, major area of discussion. And of course, there are those who explain what the Rambam has to say. The Rambam was not that wrong, but here it's that shuts the mouths. If I want to translate it the way, what it really sounds like, v'zeh yachsom, it shuts the mouth. By using the word yachsom, that's already the negative connotation is there, because the pasuk in Torah says lo tachsom shor b'disho, you can't muzzle the mouth of an animal while it's working. So when he uses the term ze yachsom, it's like this is going to muzzle the mouths of those who say confusing things with regard to sacrifice. Va'od ermozbo, I'm going to deal with it. That it's Iker Gadol B'Ritzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that sacrifice is an extremely important principle in fulfilling the will of God. Now he comes to the pasuk of Halo Im Teitiv Se'et. This is one of the pasukim we wanted to deal with. Halo Im Teitiv Se'et Al Dat HaMeforshim. According to the Meforshim, and here means Rashi, Se'et Avoncha. I will carry and forgive your sin. Just as we had the pasuk that we just learned over here, when Cain turns to God and says, Gadol avoni minaso, is my sin that great that you cannot carry it? So that's Rashi. Halo im teitiv, if you'll mend your way, Seit, I will carry. And the carrying means, I will forgive your sin. And then he also brings Al Dat Rabbi Avram. Rabbi Avram, that's the Evan Ezra. Se'et comes from the word Yisor Hashem Panov Elecha. God will raise your countenance. In other words, there will be a renewal of the relationship between God and Cain. Keneged, because God had said to Cain, Loma Noflu Panecha, why is your face crestfallen? If you will do good, Se'et, I will lift your face and there will be a beautiful, beautiful, shining countenance of yours. Because a person who is embarrassed, kovesh panim lamata, bends his head down. V'chein v'or panai lo yapilun, v'hamechabdo kilu nosei panav lamala. If you honor somebody, it's like you're lifting his face upward. V'zetam ulai yisa panai lo tisa predal, etc. So we have two pshatim in the word imtativ se'et. Rashi says se'et, I will carry your sin and forgive it. The Ebenezer says, Se'et, if you mend your way, I will lift and raise your countenance. Va'aldati. The Ramban says, my opinion is, Im teitiv, yelecha yeter se'et alachecha ke'ata ha'bechor. If you will do good, se'et, he learns, means strength, greatness. At the end of Sefer Bereshit, in the blessings that Yaakov gives his children, so he says to Reuven, Pachas kamayim al totar, because you were hasty, then you're not going to have what should be yours. And yeter se'et, you should have had, yeter se'et, you should have had more greatness, but that's being taken away from you. Se'et is greatness. The greatness, the double portion in the world that belongs to the firstborn, and Cain is the firstborn. V'zetam, and that's why it says, Lama Horoloch, why are you so angry? Ki bevoshto me'achiv, because he was embarrassed of his brother. Naflu panav, his face fell. Ubikin atomi menu, and because he was jealous of him, Arogo, he killed him. V'hine omalo, God said to him, Lama Horolocha, why are you angry? Alochicha, about your brother. Why is your face fallen because of him? Halo im teitiv. Now the Ramban is explaining the pasuk. If you will do good, you will have greater strength over your brother. V'im lo teitiv. If you're not going to be mend your ways, lo imo bilvad tivo achara. Not only to you alone will evil befall. By the door of your house, there will be always something crouching there, the Yetzirah, to cause you to stumble in whatever you do. It means everything, your life is going to be a Gehenim. Your desire is that Yetzirah is going to try to be connected to you all of your days. But you should know that you have the ability of atat v'sholbo in tachpots. You can rule over him if you want. Ki teitiv drachecha v'tasirenu mi'alecha. If you will mend your ways and you will remove him. Horehu al hachuva shehinetuna biyado lashuv b'chol eid sheyirtze v'yislachlo. Important line. I'm not sure what to do with this line. But what it seems to be is that God is teaching him that there's such a thing called tshuva. Horehu al ha-tshuva. He taught him about tshuva. Because that's what he's telling him in this pasuk. Im teitiv, if you'll be good, then great strength will be yours. Im lo teitiv, then you should know you're going to fall. You're going to fall. You're going to keep falling down that slippery slope into Gehenna. So that means he's telling him that you have an opportunity to do good. Horeyu ala tshuva. He taught him that there is tshuva. Shehinu tunav biyado. It's all in his hands. Lo shuv b'chol eid sheyirtze. That he can do tshuva at any time that he wants. V'yislachlo. And God will forgive him. Of course, I have a problem with this. Obviously, the Ramban. According to the Medrash, we learned the Medrash a little while ago that Adam HaRishon meets. First man meets Cain and he asks him, well, what happened with your case? And he says, okay, I did tshuva with Pashati and I made a compromise with God, everything is okay. And Adam gets upset, he didn't know about tshuva, From the Medrash, it would seem that it was Cain himself who arrived at this great conclusion of tshuva. Here the Ramban seems to be telling us that God taught him about tshuva. If God taught him about tshuva, then why doesn't God teach Adam HaRishon about tshuva? I'm asking questions that I don't have an answer for. You know, there can be next year too. Understand? We may get an answer by then. In other words, it seems that the truth is, even when you look at the psukim, God is telling Cain, you can do tshuva. He didn't say that to Adam HaRishon. He didn't say it to first man. Why didn't he say it to first man? Why isn't Adam HaRishon? Well, I like what you said. Well, I like everything everybody said. I'm in a good mood today. In other words, what's really happening is God is attempting in a delicate way to intervene before a crime is committed. That's very interesting. You know, we always ask, well, where was God? Where was God? God was there before the first murder took place. So what do you want? What should happen now? I'm making this all up as I go along. What should God do? Should God strike Cain down before he commits the crime? Oh, yeah, go ahead, what? No, I think it would be much worse than that. You take away his free will, and you know what God might as well do? Go back a few psukim earlier and return the world to tohu vavohu. Return the world to nothingness, because if what you're going to do is you're going to stop man before he commits the crime, then there's no free will. It's all over. Well, okay, everybody's getting excited. Yeah, okay. He warned him. He warned him. You know what the warning means? The warning means is that God, to the extent that he feels right, that he can do it without creating a terrible imbalance in the world, God does intervene. Isn't that? That's a very good question. Well, you know why? Because you should know that man was not born created as an animal. There are basic instincts that every man was endowed with from the moment of creation and then afterwards from birth. There are certain intellectual ideas that everybody knows. The Meshe Chachma talks about it. Everybody knows that the whole is greater than any of its parts. Do you need to be taught that the whole is greater? A circle is not a triangle. You have to be a Gresa Guin to know that. Shlomo HaMelech says that God made Adam Yoshar. We're good. The human being instinctively knows that murder is prohibited. You don't have to be told. Lo tirzach. And you know what? And that's why. No. As far as Torah, as far as Jews are concerned, why do you think the Gemara says? The Gemara says, do you know what Lo Tirzach includes? Lo Tirzach includes embarrassing somebody publicly. You embarrass somebody in public, that's called like killing somebody. Why does the Gemara say that? Because the fact is that everybody knows you're not permitted to kill. And by the way, God doesn't tell him, what did you do? You killed somebody? No. He tells him, Kol demei achicha tzorek emei laimen adoma, the blood of your brother is crying out to me. You don't have to tell anybody. Shouldn't kill. Elokim osa et ha'adam yashar, God made man straight. Go ahead. So that's why the Medrash said that he said, Mizmor shir liyom hashavas. Tov lahodos l'Hashem. It's good to confess before God. But by Chazal, the first Baal Tshuva is Cain. Cain is the first Baal Tshuva. Hmm?
What do you mean very late?
Well, I'll tell you, there happens to be a reality in life that you can't be a Baal Tshuva until you sin. That's the way it works, you understand? Without a sin, you can't be a Baal Tshuva. Yes. Huh? The carbon wasn't a sin. The carbon wasn't a sin. Because he was upset that God accepted Hevel's and not his. That's why he's angry, and that's why he's jealous. And God already realizes that this is a very laden situation that could bring to who knows what. And therefore he's warning him. He's warning him in advance. God is intervening. God is there. Let's go to Pasuk Yud Gimel. That's at the bottom of the page. Godol Avoni Miniso. Bitmiya. The Ramban begins by quoting Rashi, and when we learned the Pasuk, I told you what Rashi says. Godol Avoni Miniso. He's asking a question. Cain says, well, is my sin that great that you can't forgive it? Atotoein Elyonim V'Tachtonim. God, you know, there's a certain chutzpah over here, the way Cain is speaking to God. Doesn't sound terribly repentant. What? You're able to carry the upper heavens and the lower heavens, the whole world. Vavoni ef shalit on. You can't carry my sin. Lashon Rashi. That's what Rashi says. Right? That's what I'm saying. According to Rashi, certainly at this point he has not yet done tshuva. But the Ramban is going to learn the Gadol Avoni Miniso. He's going to read it differently. Watch. V'hanachon. Whenever the Ramban says V'hanachon, what's correct? That means he's saying his pshat. V'hanachon b'pshat. You know what the real pshat is here? Shehu vidui. He is making a statement. God Almighty, Gadol Avoni Miniso. My sin is greater than I can carry. I did something terrible. Amar Emet, he says to God, it's true. Ki avoni gadol milislawach, you're right. The Ramban is learning these words as gadol avoni miniso, as a person who has come to the full realization of what a terrible thing he did. V'tzadik ato Hashem, listen to what, you know what the Ramban is doing? We once learned Rav Kook. We learned a few weeks ago. We learned Rav Kook on the Akedah, who takes us through the mind and heart of Avraham Avinu step by step. The Ramban over here. This is the beauty of the Ramban here. He tells us what's going on in Cain's mind, and in this pasuk, he really gives us a major description. MS, it's true. Ki avoni gadol minislach. My sin is so great. There's no forgiveness. V'tzadik ato Hashem, you God, you're just. V'yoshor mishpatecha, and your judgment is correct. Afal pisha nashtoti harbe miyod, even though you have punished me in a great way. V'hine geirashtoti ayom yal pnei ha'adoma, you have cast me out from upon the face of this earth. Ki b'hiyoti navanad, because now that I'm going to be a wanderer and a stranger, v'lo uchal lamod b'makom echad, and I won't be able to stay in any one place. I'm really been expelled and divorced from the world. There's no place for me to rest. You know what the Ramban is describing? A person who, you know, we say it in English. You can't find a place for yourself. Or is that a translation from Yiddish? You know, we're talking about his troubled, tortured soul. Even if he has a house, and it's a beautiful house, and it's in a quiet, peaceful neighborhood, but because of the sin, he's a wanderer. He's a wanderer. He's an exile. Even if he wouldn't have been thrown out of the Garden of Eden. Oh, it is a great... The Rav brings it in one of his drushes, al atshuva. He brings it in the name of the Tzemach Tzedek, that was the Mittler Rebbe of Chabad. Pasuk that we said so often during the course of Slichas. V'shav Hashem Elokecho Shvutcha, God is going to return your captivity. V'shav, and he will turn the Kibetzcha, and he will gather you in from all of the nations. So the Mittler Rebbe said, Kibetzcha is a singular. How do you gather in a singular? You know, you can gather, if you would say v'kibatzchem, He will gather all of you in. So I can understand. He brings a million people together. And he brings, but the kibetzka, how do you gather in a singular? So the Tzaddik said, because a sinner is a person who finds no rest. He's a tormented and a tortured soul. His mind and his emotions are going off in all sorts of directions. There's no inner peace. There's no inner tranquility. And do you know what the process of tshuva is? Returning all of the thoughts and emotions and feelings, bringing a sense of peace and tranquility to a human being, like you're being gathered together again. You have a place. You have a place. You're not flying emotionally in all directions without anchor, without anything. You don't feel you're at home with yourself. And this is what the Ramban is describing over here. Ein makom lemnuchati, there's no place for me to rest. Umiponecha es sater, and now I'm going to be concealed from your face. He realizes already what a real Baal Teshuva is supposed to realize, that the greatest punishment for sin is that one's relationship with God has been torn asunder. From before you, I am now concealed. Kilo uchal lamod lefanecha lepalel. I cannot stand before you to pray. O lahakriv korban umincha. I can't bring sacrifice before you. Ki boshti v'gam nichlamti. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. Kinasati cherpat nurai, because I carry the great shame and embarrassment of my youth. Avol ma'eh eseh. What can I do? Next page. Ki kol motzai yaharguni. Anybody who finds me will kill me, because he believes that by having committed this terrible crime, he has made himself, in a sense, hefker, ownerless. Anybody can kill him. And he feels like he just... Huh? There are going to be people in the world. And do you know how he's going to be killed ultimately? By one of his grandchildren. Lemach. How do you like that? The Ramban is beautiful, because the Ramban is taking us into the mind and into the consciousness of a sinner. So then he says, "V'ata b'chazdecha haravim, you with your great kindness, lo chiyavta oti mita, you did not find me guilty of a crime for which I should die. V'in shamal afarav hinechatoi gadol v'hir beit alai onesh, my sin is great. I've been punished greatly. Avol shomreini. God, I'm only asking you one thing. Shelo e'enosh yotem imashich yavtoti. I should not be punished more than what you decreed upon me. Ki bavur she'ayen na v'nad, because I'm going to be a wanderer. V'lo evneli bayit ugederot b'shum makom. I'm not going to build a house or a wall in any place. Yaharguni achayot. I'll be killed by the animals. Kisor tzu chomi alai, he feels that the protection of God is gone from him. What a very sense of very profound and deep feeling of a sinner who is truly regretting it. Hoda, you know what he's saying? Ki ha'odom einenu nisgav v'nimlat b'kocho rak shmichat elyon alav. No man has the power or the strength to save himself. There's only one way a person makes it through this world. Shmirat Elyon Olav. Watched by the Almighty God. I want to take you just for a brief moment to another amazing Ramban and just tell you the basic idea. It's the last one. It says that afterwards, after it was all over, he left the Garden of Eden. And he had children. It says, Vayhi boneh ir. He built a city, and he called the name of the city like the name of the son Chanoch. Ki mitchila hayachoshev liyot ardidi bavono. You see the depth of his regret. He thought that because he had sinned, he's going to be childless. He shouldn't really have... nobody should ever come from him anymore. The remorse, the guilt is unbelievable. V'achare shenolad lo zera, after children were born, heichel livnot ir lihiyot b'no yosheva, he began to build a city that his son should live. Why that his son should live? Because he knows for certain that he's never going to have a place that he can call home. He's the man without a country. Remember that? You remember that? Was it a poem? The man without a country? Huh? It was a book? The man without a country. He's the man without land. And you know what's even more fascinating? The Ramban is going to say, it's so strange, you don't find this anyplace. How do you say somebody built something? Vayiven, and he built. Why does it say in the present tense, Vayihi boneh ir? He was building a city. You know what? He was always building and never finished. His whole life, hundreds of years, he's building, he's building, he's building, and he never finishes. He starts, he stops. He starts, he stops. He is a tortured, tortured soul. Tortured. Nothing. He's never going to make it. He will never complete it. And he doesn't complete it. And ultimately what's going to happen, of course, is sliding further down that slippery slope. All he and all of his children are going to be swept away by the marble. The story of the first terrible, terrible sin. The Ramban is a dramatic, dramatic description that really describes to us what's going on inside the mind and heart of a Kayan. Did he relive it in his mind 1,000 times? Why did I do it? Why did I do it? It really means that the evil that men do is ultimately that which does them in. It's not so much the fact that it was a sin. It's not only the relationship with God that's now gone forever. So what a difference in two approaches. By the way, another hour I'd be able to tell you Rashi's side of the story. There are two sides to the story over here. Rashi has learned Gadol Avoni Minaso as the one who's not yet ready to realize he's made a terrible mistake. By the way, I think that we can relate more to the Rashi in a contemporary sense than we can to the Ramban. The sinner is just not ready to recognize that he made a tragic mistake. And you know how he makes sure that he doesn't admit it? When he just goes doing the same sin all over again. You're wondering what I'm talking about. The same thing. We have somebody to talk to. Just give them more and give them more. In other words, it's really a repetition, a rewind, a replay. Nothing new. Nothing new. But you know what? What remains the constant? An inability to say I made a mistake. What? A knee loser? You're crazy. We're going to bring greater days. The Rashi's point is how difficult it is for man to say, I made a mistake. The Ramban's point is how profoundly disturbing sin is and how it eats away at the human being, and that after all is said and done, he has in a sense really destroyed his own life. Infinitely worse than what he did to Hevel was what he did to himself. What he did to himself. You can't relive it. You can't do it all over again. You can't undo. You can't undo. And at the same time that you can't undo, God does forgive. God does forgive. Horeyu ala tshuva.